League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Hail, hail, Michigan. They are the champions of college football 2023.
If I'm ranking people I dislike, I know Lance more, so I dislike him more.
If I ever get fired, I'm suing. Gal, take it.
I dislike Lance as a person.
Right. No, you don't. They should hunt down and kill all kangaroos in Australia.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket. Welcome back. That same old place that you laughed about.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, the memories have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
Hey,
hey, hey. The dark that leads
you.
Alright, thank you, Frank. Jerk. So I hope you guys are happy about this. And okay. So Bobby Slowick leaves, okay. Let's say he goes to it might behoove him to go Ben Johnson on this thing.
I think a 1 year wait is smart. He still needs to learn stuff. He'll be a 1 year play caller.
Plus
you screw this up early and you're done. Look, they fire people in 1 to 2 years now.
Plus, that was my next point. You see the story? Colin Cowherd says that Nick Sirianni is in some trouble in Philadelphia.
This is insane.
I mean, he was just in the Super Bowl.
This is literally like soccer now, where you just can't.
But I got a question for you.
Okay.
So Shane Steichen leaves. Sirianni's in trouble. Bobby Slowick leaves. You want D'Amico to get fired next year? Is that what you want? This is what you're looking for.
I wanted him hired.
Well, Nick Sirianni's about to get fired after 1 year when he loses all offensive coordinator.
You said you wanted them to hire Frank Reich, an offensive-minded coach.
Right? No, I said I wanted Bobby Slowick as the head coach. Yeah, I did.
They got the perfect head coach. They got a great offense coordinator. They will lose him, I think, not this year, but I think next year. I think he'll go Ben Johnson, and now Ben Johnson has to dig around and like the job that would be perfect for him would be clearly and the smart move. And you never know if guys are good head coaches. That's a different deal. Calling plays and managing grown men is a totally different thing. And managing a staff of coaches. So that's a way different thing, but it would make sense to go, Justin Herbert. It would make sense for him to go. You get the young coach in there. McVay's the young coach off the tree. Now you go Ben Johnson, who's the young coach with the other LA team. That's the one that would make sense. If he wants to, you know, now I don't know what he's got from a quarterback standpoint after. You got Justin Herbert, but then from a wide receiver standpoint, you got two aging wide receivers. Eckler may be on the way out. So there's some other things, but you just give me a left tackle, which they have, and a quarterback, and I got something to work with. So if Ben Johnson leaves Cleveland, their talented play caller, I think he'll go to the Chargers. And if you're Bobby Slowick, I mean, Carolina's not the job. I think Atlanta could be a job. Not a tough division. I think that could be a pretty good job, Atlanta.
You got to get a quarterback. You need a quarterback.
Yeah, you got to get a quarterback.
Listen, I don't care where any of them go. You gotta have a quarterback.
Although I'll say
the Chargers job is the best job.
John, where he came from, he had Jimmy Garoppolo, and he had, I don't even count Trey Lance because he was out so fast, and he had Brock Purdy. I mean, he didn't have to take those guys in the first five picks, seven picks.
No. Well, they did, though. They went and got Matt Trey Schaub, Lance in the, with the third overall
pick. There was a lot
pick.
Of success with Matt Schaub. There was a lot of success with Kirk Cousins in Washington after RG3 went down. I think Shanahan was still there.
They thought that they needed a quarterback with Trey Lance as the third pick and everything they gave up for him.
Yeah.
I mean, they thought they did.
Yeah, they thought they did. But what I'm saying is this offense can make you look pretty good.
Yeah. Well, so somebody goes to – you don't think that Bryce Young can be pretty – listen, Bryce Young is still the same guy that we saw at Alabama, a really, really good quarterback that won the Heisman Trophy as the best player in college football.
I think
football.
He is. The thing I get concerned about, because you and I both saw David Carr, there comes a time where you get so shell-shocked. You never want to be the guy that drops your eyes. Like, David Carr got the hell beaten out of him, and he started dropping his eyes where he could. Now, David also didn't put the time in he needed to, self-admittedly. But David Carr started dropping his eyes. He was so worried about seeing ghosts and pressure that he wasn't able to look down the field. As long as you see Bryce Young still looking down the field. But, you know, he also is an off-schedule. He also kind of liked it to go off-schedule from time to time. And what we're learning is that's it. You got to be pretty rare to win that way. I know Lamar Jackson makes it look easy, but there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can win. Josh Allen does too, but a lot of quarterbacks are not going to win off schedule consistently. And I think Bryce Young could be the guy, but once again with that ownership, I'm not. If I'm Ben Johnson, he's gone through three coaches in 5 years. If I'm Ben Johnson, Ben turned it down last year. If I'm Bobby Slowick, no thanks. Mm-hmm. I got a much better situation here with C.J. Stroud. I get my playoff shares. Texans will give him a raise. You know, he'll make $2 million a year. He's going to make good money.
Yeah, no, I ain't worried about Bobby Slowick. I'm just going to – yeah. Listen, it's probably best for him. He still looks like he's about 12 years old, too. I mean, that maybe he should grow a beard or something.
There's still things he has to learn about play calling, too. Yeah. I mean, you don't learn everything in a year.
No. Well, but he was sitting under Shanahan, and you learn there too.
But you don't call the plays.
Yeah,
he's calling the plays.
He's done a pretty damn good
have
job.
Have we not? He has. But have we not? How much of that is okay? We always give credit for a system, right? A player's in a system. How much of that is? Let me flip the script. How much of Bobby Slowick's success has been having this quarterback?
Oh, a lot. I think. Was Shane Steichens?
I think it's a fair.
Was Shane Steichens because he's not the same guy that he was last year.
Shane Steichen almost won a division with Gardner Minshew.
That's what I'm saying. Was Shane Steichen's success Jalen Hurts, or was it Shane Steichen?
I think Jalen played well. I think Jalen was in the perfect offense for him.
Yeah.
Perfect storm. I think C.J. Stroud is a much more talented passer. And he's in a pass-heavy. Shane did what he needed to do.
And not as good a runner.
I think Slowick is a good – I think Slowick's a really good coach. It has a great. There have been some things offensively we didn't love.
Yeah.
Some play calls he's done, some of the things we've done where he said that was a learning moment for Bobby Slowick. Remember that? We said that about him on different instances. Yep. Just having Tank Dell anywhere near
Cincinnati,
a pile.
The Cincinnati call.
Cincinnati call. Tank Dell near a pile three different times. And he flew too close to the sun and got burned on that one.
Right. Listen,
he needs to sit here for another 3 years and just let it, you know. Just wait for the absolutely perfect job and never leave. What's the big deal? Some guys, Lou Anaroma, or whatever, the defense coordinator, he's not going anywhere.
He doesn't get interviews.
The Bengals, yeah.
He rarely gets interviews.
Eric Bieniemy doesn't want to be a head coach. He just continues to be a coordinator.
Well, he interviews like every week for a job.
He just wants.
Maybe he does.
So it's weird. Trend with Lance.
The new Steeler thing is, so the Steeler fans are now, we've got to get Eric Bieniemy. We got to get Eric Bieniemy. And Washington fans now are doing this. You've got to get Eric Bieniemy. You've got to have Eric Bieniemy, guys. Washington fans are not, you know, there was this narrative going around that Bieniemy fixed Sam Howell, and then Sam Howell started playing terribly and got benched, and like, Bieniemy doesn't have anything to work with. And now the big argument for Bieniemy is, look at Pat Mahomes. And it's not like look at what Bieniemy did as a play caller, because the numbers really didn't change much at all for Washington. So this is going to be the new thing, is going to be teams want Bieniemy in now as an offensive coordinator. And he may be available, because I think he's going to be available. I think the Commanders will go in a completely different direction, obviously. Usually that happens when you change head coaches. So Bieniemy's name is going to be out there, and he'll get some interviews for head coaching jobs too. But it's not as many. I expected New England may still open up. I don't think, like, how do you can't change Antonio Pierce out and with
no,
the Raiders.
Can't. No, you can't. Not the way
players love
the players are talking about him and what he did at the end of the season. You can't.
Okay, does Michigan title change narrative around cheating allegations? This, as I was coming into the office, was pissing me off. I was just thinking, they won a championship. They cheated multiple years. They cheated inside of this year, were found out, didn't cheat in the postseason, just like the Astros with the trash can, although they weren't found out. They had just stopped then.
Would it be different if they had won it all?
And then they found out.
And then they found out.
Yeah, it would be different, but why should it be? It's the same situation with the Astros.
Same thing. But no, but nothing. And it's sign stealing, and no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
It's sign stealing.
It's
they had a guy potentially on another team's field illegally.
I mean, and no.
Although supposedly he went rogue or whatever.
No one cares. No one cares. I mean.
Well, the outrage is over.
I guess.
We had some temporary outrage.
Well, how ironic that he won it in Houston and blah, blah, all the tweets and everything else. I mean, but it's just amazing how the vitriol for the Houston Astros and nothing for Michigan.
Nothing.
Really. And
the Astros are catching it when they won 2 years ago.
He's being celebrated like one of the great and he is. He's a great coach.
And the Astros are one of the great teams of all. Of baseball over the last several years.
But you don't understand how sacred baseball is. So what the Astros did crossed the line that we've never seen before.
Listen, baseball is known for a ton of cheating, but you don't stand for it.
What about the Patriots winning Super Bowls, cheating, stealing, taping?
No one cares.
And Deflategate.
No one cares.
But what about Michigan winning the national championship, cheating? But the only one that matters is the Astros.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They tainted our great sport.
It is pretty ironic.
If you taint our great sport like that, you deserve all the vitriol you get.
Has Ken Burns done a documentary on college football?
Oh, it'd be too long.
Although college football, like baseball, has the old-timey, like more so than pro football, college football has the more romanticized notion of, you know, of the girls in the poodle skirts and the guys and – and you know, you got the
fur coats
you got the four horsemen of Notre Dame and you've got it's got history that's more akin to baseball than pro football does. Like college football's got this romanticized history because it goes back to universities. It's not programs, it's entire universities.
Baseball is accepted cheating for years. So is football. You buy players. They were buying players in the 50s and 60s. Come to our school. Here's some money. No, here's money. Here's
baseball
money.
Doesn't accept cheating, John. What are you talking about?
Baseball, that's all they do is accept cheating.
What's all that happens is
that's all they do.
Baseball is one big cheat.
It is.
Steroids, sign stealing, binoculars on the Bobby Thompson home run. It's spitballs with Gaylord Perry.
Spitball.
Scuff with Mike Scott.
Nails.
Greenies, blueies, reddies, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's doing reddies. Cocaine. We had that
it
era.
It doesn't matter. Now it's Adderall.
Yeah.
Speed.
It just doesn't matter. We're going to cheat. If we can, we're going to cheat.
But we finally found the one really bad.
That's
cheaters.
It. Then no.
We got
it's
it.
It's egregious. Got egregious it. Is the word. All right.
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
Michigan had a Google file. Like, their free account, it got too jammed up with so much Google files in it. Their Google Docs got so packed, they probably had to open another free Google account.
It's incredible. Time to talk about my man, Doc Lindell. I'm going back to see him on Monday, as a matter of fact. I got an appointment to go get some to the PRP to stimulate the growth in the hair, and it'll fill in. The pictures are amazing. Alicia showed me some pictures of guys and that we know here at the station that did originally they did the needle grafting, and then they went back and they did the PRP, and the growth is amazing what is happening. So if you may be a needle graft guy, which is a bigger procedure where you get 50 cents off right now, and it's not going to last, people. I'm telling you here and now, it's not going to last. So if you're about price, this is the time to go see Doc Linville because he's giving you 50% off each needle graft, which could add up to $1,000 off. So there's that, or the PRP, which is just basically stirring up your blood and putting it back in and stimulating the growth that way. So here's the deal, is if you're somebody that is follically challenged, like I have been, you need Doc Linville. Doc Linville's here for you. He's the best. He's grown to one of the biggest in the city. You got to go. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what happened?
And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened?
Get with QC Kinetics. Get a free consultation on the calendar by calling 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lance and John. Scratch that. Reverse it.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance with you at 713-780-3776. The number to get in here. Let's get Julian in here. Wants to talk about. I don't think there's any question about this. The Shanahan coaching tree greater than the Belichick coaching tree. I mean, it's not even close.
Not even close.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing,
man? So is this good. Like, is it, do we ruin your thing, Julian? This is kind of a known deal.
No, well, look, there's a few things to it, man. So it even goes to Adam Peters. The Commanders and the Raiders have requested an interview with him. We are Brian Fleury and Clint Kubiak. They're trying, supposedly there's interest in them. Would that be considered a lateral move, or can we get compensatory picks if they become an OC?
You don't get, you're not getting compensatory picks unless you have a black
coach. Yeah, Kubiak's white. I don't know if you heard.
Well, Steve Wilks, he has an interview with the Chargers requested an interview with him, even though
I think
they're going to go for either Belichick or Harbaugh.
Oh, wait, is Wilks at D.C. there now?
Yeah, he's our D.C. right okay. now. And
yeah, that's worth a third-round pick if him. He gets hired somewhere, but not as another D.C. He has to be hired as a head coach, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Right, right.
Yeah, but do you remember the Kubiak thing is interesting.
Happening so often?
What's that?
When's the last time you saw a coaching tree being pecked off so frequently, man? I mean, this is like 3 or 4 years running that we're just losing – people left and right.
Well, I mean, once you get a hot offense, look, it's a great passing offense. It was good when Kubiak was here. Gary was just, in my opinion, just didn't diversify it enough. It was just too, it was too static. It needed to be more fluid and a little less predictable, but it was, and that's what Kyle Shanahan, what he did was took his dad's offense, Mike Shanahan's, which Gary Kubiak learned from, and all he did was just he modernized it. He put some pistol in for RG3. He changed some right. of he added more gap scheme to make it less predictable. He made, thanks for the call, Julian. He did a lot of, like, Kyle Shanahan did a lot of things to make it a less predictable offense, yet keeping a lot of the same concepts in there that were very quarterback friendly. And so now, you just continue to see these, you just continue to see success in this offense. I mean, look at Stefanski uses the same, some of the same concepts. And look at what he's done with Joe Flacco, C.J. Stroud here. If you have something that works, people are going to go after it. That's the bottom line. And have I seen anyone get picked off trees like this? Yeah, I saw it with Bill Belichick, only it didn't work because that was all
yep.
that was Tom Brady type. It was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick stuff. He had the right defensive guys at one point, and he had Tom Brady. And it didn't matter who the coaches were. You couldn't. And if anything, the Bill Brady met the Bill. Belichick method is not really great for running teams.
No.
And yet you took these coaches who tried to have the same personality, and it's actually not a fit.
No.
Pretty much anywhere else but where you had hard-ass guys like Tom Brady.
Did you see somebody tweeted out Belichick's record without Tom Brady? You know what his winning percentage is?
Were you going all the way back to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like 40-some percent.
Yeah.
He's got a losing record without Tom Brady.
Yep.
And I think that that's proven what what worked there. Now, early on, they were really good defensively, but Tom Brady took over as.
But eventually, you get a rotten apple off a coaching tree, like, you know, because DeMeco Ryans is a special leader. Bobby Slowick is learning as important stuff from DeMeco Ryans right now. That's why being here another year is important for him, because he's learning more right now from DeMeco Ryans just as much. It's just as important as what he learned from Kyle Shanahan football-wise. Because you can keep learning football stuff. You can keep studying in the offseason. This is only osmosis. You have to be there with a guy like DeMeco Ryans to see it, to know what it looks like. And even then, you can't just be DeMeco Ryans.
Here's DeMeco talking about his leadership approach.
For me, when you talk about my leadership approach, it's all about, right, positive reinforcement. It's all about positive energy. It's all about just getting better one day at a time. And that's what I tried to instill in all of our guys, is just a get better mentality. And I think our guys have taken that on. We've gotten better from day one. Each and every week we've gotten better. Always things to improve on, things to clean up. But all I want our guys is just continue to do their best and strive to get better every single day.
A positive mind. There's a lot of coaches that don't have that. There's a like for example, the one that was here just three short years ago, Bill O'Brien. Nothing positive. Nothing. It was a reign of terror in that building. Look at the difference in that building now with a guy who's as positive as. And listen, Caserio came from a dictatorship over in New England. And by the way, Nick Caserio apparently went scorched earth on Jason LaConfora's report that he would go back to New England. Called Jason LaConfora, according to some people that were listening, he said he was that LaConfora is a jackass.
That seems rude to say that.
Not really.
To call somebody a J.A.?
Yeah.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of all yourself.
If wait a minute. If the shoe fits, if Jason LaConfora is just... Well, Jason LaConfora said, people have said that, or someone said that Nick Caserio would go back in a minute, right? Would go back to New England. I guess, is that... If you're reporting that someone is saying that Nick Caserio would, are you saying that Nick Caserio would, or are you saying that someone is saying that? Are you saying, you know what I'm saying? Is that something that you just don't even write?
I already told you when I read it, when you read it to me the first time, it's somebody said that.
Somebody said that.
It's not new. It's not insane. I'll bet you there's one that believes he's going to head back there. Well, he could just that.
Right.
He can just say, I guarantee you, watch this. I'll bet you he ends up back with Bill Belichick. Somebody can say that as their opinion, and LaConfora's, he probably, because it does, even if LaConfora reported it as such and said it's just an opinion, it doesn't matter. Aggregators take it, and they're going to put a different spin on it.
Well, no, but he's intimating that Nick Caserio is looking, he's got an eye on New England, and that he would go back. It's not an unbelievable story.
It's not unheard of, but if he's asked that directly, impressed with that directly, I mean, I don't blame Nick for getting a little salty. You just made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got a chance to be executive of the year here.
So you said that people who were around Nick Caserio heard his response and he called LaConfora a jackass?
No, he said it on the radio.
Oh, he said that. Well, we heard Cal's response to that particular rumor, too.
Okay. That's not Cal.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure that's not Cal. I mean, it sounds like him, but I don't think it is him. All right? I don't know. Why do you keep playing that? That's
Why do I... You want to know why I keep playing that?
Yeah. Because that's not...
Listen to it, and what's the first thing you think of when you hear it? That's why I keep playing it. I don't even need you to voice what you think. Just think about it in your own head. Yeah, that's why I keep playing.
Okay. Listen, it's just stop playing that. By the way, there's no reason to be playing that. What about Jimmy Kimmel last night?
What about him?
Jimmy Kimmel apparently went. Speaking of scorched earth, okay. Apparently, Jimmy Kimmel went after Aaron Rodgers last night. Now, it was it was on the show last night, right? It was last night?
Yeah, it would have to be, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So here is Jimmy Kimmel talking about Aaron Rodgers.
A guy who went to community college, then got into Cal on a football scholarship and didn't graduate, someone who never spent a minute studying the human body, is an expert in the field of immunology. He just put on a magic helmet, and that G made him a genius. Aaron got two A's on his report card. They were both in the word Aaron, okay?
That was 20 seconds of a seven-minute thing he went after Aaron Rodgers for.
He did.
Yes. Yes.
He called him Karen Rodgers.
7 minutes?
7 minutes, yeah.
Oh, Aaron can't let that go.
Well, Aaron's not going to win it against a guy who has professional
writers.
He may
not win it, but Aaron Rodgers is not going to let that go. We have not seen the last of this.
The problem for Aaron Rodgers is he's never going to be as funny as the seven guys who wrote whatever they wrote for Kimmel. So he's going to go there and go, say something kind of goofy, and no one's going, oh, okay, Aaron, thanks. Yeah. He's not going to win this.
Or say things that could get him sued. Oh,
so McAfee, so for those who don't know, Aaron Rodgers on McAfee's, Pat McAfee's show, he's on there all the time. What does he get, $10 million to do that show?
Oh, more. Higher. It's like $15 million.
Is it?
Oh, how much does Aaron get?
Yeah, Aaron.
Oh, I don't know what
Aaron
gets.
But Pat McAfee gets $85
million. Yeah, yeah, it's 15 a year, I think,
for him. Aaron Rodgers gets 10.
No, what?
Yeah, I think so.
There's no way that's how much he made.
How much is that in appearance?
I'm gonna find it. Like I'm pretty sure that I saw
appearance.
So Aaron Rodgers said that Jimmy Kimmel would be looking out, or needs to, would be scared when the Epstein report comes out, and Jimmy Kimmel came back at him, and now Jimmy Kimmel has done all of this. Pat McAfee the other day went after his boss. What's the name?
Norby.
What is it?
Norby Williamson.
Norby Williamson.
Norby Williamson. Because Norby Williamson apparently is the guy with the ratings, and he puts out bad ratings, and he doesn't like Pat McAfee. He doesn't like the direction that ESPN. He's one of the old-time ESPN guys, and he is none too pleased with Pat McAfee. And Pat McAfee called him a rat. Pat McAfee said he went after Norby Williamson. Didn't care.
That's when you know you have, when you're untouchable.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. Like Stephen A. Smith at this point can say whatever he wants.
Right. Yeah.
McAfee can say whatever he wants. Hell, they would lose all of their programming if they got rid of one of those guys. Ryan Clark, Stephen A. Smith, and Pat McAfee, those three guys basically run, and Mina Kimes, those four people run the entire network. You would lose all, lose chunks of your programming if you got rid of those four.
Because they're on every
program.
They're
on everything.
That's somebody else that he goes, is McAfee ever sleep? He's on every show.
Yeah.
He's on every show.
I give him credit. Like him and Stephen A.
They work.
They work. Yeah. I mean, they work. I'd be like, oh, man.
So you thought maybe McAfee backed off the Jimmy Kimmel stuff and made an apology to Jimmy Kimmel because, you know what? We're sorry that happened on our show, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't backing down on Norby Williamson.
And the only thing that I'm like super bummed out about it all,
sure,
is that a guy that we like a lot, a man that watched the game with us in the suite, Burke Magnus,
yeah,
who is currently new guy in charge at ESPN right below Jimmy Pitaro. I guess he was kind of made to look bad because of what I did and how I did it. I would like to let everybody know we love Burke Magnus.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love Burke Magnus.
Love you, Burke.
And also love Jimmy Pitaro.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Love Bob Iger.
What?
But there is quite a transition era here, you know, between the old and the new. Mm-hmm. New. And the old don't like what the new be do. You know what I mean? So there is certainly going to be a couple of that, but we're very thankful. A lot of people are saying I'm trying to get fired. No way.
Whoa.
What ESPN has been able to do for us, mm-hmm, more specifically whenever they do things like this, you have no idea about the crew behind the scenes here that we've been working with basically all year. Not only on game day, but for our show whenever we're traveling, we got nothing but love for all of these people. Now, there's certainly people we do not like. Certainly.
Naturally.
And they do not like us. That's how it's going to be. And I don't take back anything that I said about said person. But the overall storyline about us and ESPN, I think people need to remember, we're
bingo,
strong, baby.
Bingo.
We are strong, baby.
Right.
And we all understand what the future looks like. There's just some old hags that potentially don't. But we will move forward to that.
Listen, he does. He's got immunity. He can say whatever he wants. I mean, I try to be careful.
When did sports media has become so much drama?
All the leagues are drama. Everything's drama.
Malik Andrews is in trouble with Stephen A. Smith. Why is this? Pat McAfee roasted his boss. Is this the end? Where's Skip going? Where's Shannon going?
Who was the one? She was hosting the NBA. Anywhere.
I've been here the ABC. Whole time. Right here in this seat the whole time for my entire career.
That's not true.
Radio. Some of us don't go anywhere.
Not
we sit
even close
still.
To being
Who
true.
Got There's Maria no Taylor fired from the NBA?
What, Rachel Nichols?
Rachel Nichols.
No,
yes.
Maria got Rachel fired.
That's what I said.
You said who got Maria Taylor fired.
No. Maria Taylor got Rachel Nichols fired.
Yeah.
And then Maria Taylor left for NBC.
And she went to NBC.
Yeah. But that drama. Oh, she said, I only got my job
and
because...
Somebody recorded Rachel Nichols. They had a secret recording. Yeah, bro, it's...
All right.
These hoes ain't loyal.
No, we got to break
it. I mean it in the most general
sense. Clean that up.
Yeah.
Make sure. Well, I mean it in the most... I mean...
Make sure people know you're talking about everyone.
I mean it's gender,
not specific.
Wow. It's non-gender specific.
ESPN.
Are you though?
I mean, play the quote?
I had to clean something up for you yesterday. Now we're doing this again. I
got
to clean this up for you.
Can you actually play the quote?
What quote?
Oh, no. Frank's got that
from
in the open.
Pastor.
These hoes ain't loyal. All right. Breaking it here.
Yes,
you.
That was a gender non-specific
Yeah. Clean it
phrase.
Up.
Yes.
But John, maybe they'll sue you with John Daspit.
Well, you can try if you want, but John Daspit is a personal injury lawyer. So nice try. John Daspit is the guy who, frankly, has been doing an incredible job of helping people who have been injured at the workplace, in the roadway, really anywhere. I mean, injuries and bad injuries. Look, it's one thing to have a small injury that happens, but if you've been badly hurt, John Daspit wants to know about it because the first thing that happens is insurance companies immediately jump in there, try to get you a settlement so that you leave them alone and they are able to squeeze you on that settlement and they continue to hang on to more of their money. If you have hospital bills, physical therapy, if you have continuing pain and issues with that are related to that issue, sometimes injuries are so bad at workplace, refinery explosions, car wrecks with 18-wheelers, that you know you basically have the PTSD and you have issues that can still arise with that were so unbelievably stressful. But there's a lot of things that happen, and John Daspit is in the middle of it and helping people. He's been doing this for a long time, and he can do it for you. Great success rate as well. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. There are 10 offices around the state of Texas, so even if it's someone who's not in Houston, the chances are they can help them anywhere in the state. 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're watching ESPN 97.5 with your ears.
High definition.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
I agree with you. I reject the premise that Kimmel is remotely funny, regardless if it's about Aaron Rodgers or anything else. He's not. Did you see, like, Outkick, there was some study, some company looked at all of the late night shows, and 81% of the jokes, political jokes, are conservatives. 81%.
Yeah.
Well, who watches the late night shows? Is it conservatives or liberals?
Playing to audience.
You play to your audience.
Conservatives don't, well, because they're all
you have your own
liberals,
shows.
Liberal if, hosts, right? Is that
left,
why conservatives don't watch
if
it?
If you're on the right, you
or
watch
because
shows.
They don't stay up late.
If you're on the left, you watch. Well, it didn't used to be all political. It used to be just funny shows
used
about
to be,
different stuff, but it got easier. But, yeah, I mean, you know how it is. If you want to hear this, you go here. If you want to hear this, you go here, and that's it.
So here's a list of most pressing needs. I know it's early. Most pressing needs for every team. What's the Texans' most pressing need?
An offensive coordinator.
Well, it will be. It will be.
You're a J.A.
You think Gerard Johnson could take over and do it?
I have no idea.
If he's learning under Slowick right now.
I don't know, maybe.
He's learning under Slowick.
I don't know. He's a quarterback coach.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Possible.
I think I don't know if he'd get first crack or not, because if he's tight with C.J. Stroud, that's going to matter. C.J.'s a guy who's a little guarded, and he's got to get to know you a little bit. And now that he knows Slowick, they've got a good I think they might try to stick with Jerod Johnson. Maybe. Jerod, this is a great opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Great opportunity.
So most pressing
okay, let me
need
guess.
On the field, though.
I would say on the field, the most pressing need is at safety.
What? I would.
It might be at inside linebacker.
Oh, I don't know. Christian Harris has played much better.
Playing weak side.
Yeah, well, and Blake Cashman.
Well, they're in dime packages, both, yeah, so they're both. I mean, in nickel inside. Packages, they're both out there. But Denzel Perryman, it'd be nice to have a guy maybe a little better than Denzel. But it also might. I think actually, it's defensive tackle.
It is defensive tackle.
Because Rankins.
That's what this says. Defensive tackle Rankins. Yeah, I think you bring Sheldon Rankins back
for that money.
Yeah, it's a $10 million.
How'd you like to draft Byron Murphy from University of Texas in a late first?
Well,
or Tavondre Sweat.
Well, that would. Is he going to be there?
Huh?
Sweat will be there.
He's not a rusher. There's a chance Murphy could go before Sweat.
Wow.
Because Murphy rushes. That's how it works. Go look at only when you go see big guys like this. Danny Shelton got taken inside the top eight. It was a huge disaster. Dontari Poe got taken inside the top 10. It was like too early. These guys who don't rush now because there's so much passing, they only play two downs. You don't play as many downs. So they typically go. Sometimes they can go late first. A lot of times they go on the second. That's historically what happens. So, but Tavondre Sweat would give you a monster in the middle. Like, that'd be phenomenal to have a guy who's just bang, bang, you know, knocking people around
that'd
and clogging up the run.
Yes.
Byron Murphy is a three-down defensive tackle who has a chance to be a pass rusher, you know, the complete package. There's actually some pretty good Chris Jenkins. I got to write him up from Michigan. He's pretty good. He had a good game.
He had a good game last night.
It actually looks like a pretty good year. Jerzon Newton, who I'm not as high on him as you'll see his name a lot from Illinois. I actually don't have him. I actually think he's, for me, would be like an early second round pick. But he could go in the first. But there's some good, you know, defense tackles actually not bad this year. Lines up for the Texans.
I'll tell you. He looked good last night. He looked really good.
Chris Jenkins. Yeah, and if you have Sweat or Byron Murphy, like those guys would both be great with the Texans too.
Yeah. I agree, but I still think wide receiver is a top need as well.
Oh, yeah, you get Tank back.
I mean, you put another speed guy there.
I think Mechie is going to be done after 4 years. He'll be gone.
You put another speed guy there with Mechie's Nico and Tank.
Mechie's been a non-factor with Tank out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's supposed to. No, he hasn't done anything. No, he really hasn't. I would really like, if it's not in the first round, whatever, find another speed guy. Find another Tank in the third round. That'd be great.
On the outside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can always find those guys in like the third round. You know, Jalen Hyatt in the third round last year. Xavier Worthy, I think, is going to be a third round pick. I watched him. Not great hands.
He's another can't make contested skinny catches. Guy.
That's what I'm saying. He's like a 168-pound guy, too. You can't have two of them on the field.
Well, if they can stay on the field. I mean, well, and plus, you know, need some goal line blocking.
So I'm waiting for the first year that Tank stays on the field the whole year. He just had his rookie year. Now we got to see if he can stay on the field the second year. I don't want another 168-pound guy, 170-pound guy. I've got one, and I love that guy. To me, you know, most wide receivers aren't 168 pounds, by the way. Most are going to be 180 and up. So, yeah, you'll be able to find somebody.
Yeah.
You'll be able to find a good wide receiver. Xavier Leggett, I like him from South Carolina in the second round. There's guys. There's plenty of guys.
Joe Daddy, what up?
What's up, Joe Daddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to talk about how important that 10 minutes of the NFL draft was this last year. I mean, from taking CJ to trading up, shocking the world, and getting Will. That was so important for this franchise, man. It's so cool. And to hear like a guy like Charlie Polillo talk about that stat about, I don't know, it's like 15 or 16 years that a last place team would go to first. And I hear this stat every dang year. And finally it happened to us. We went from last to first in 1 year.
No, it's happened just thinking before. He said finally it happened to us.
Happened to us.
Yeah, to the Texans.
No, it's happened three times with the Texans.
They went from last to first?
Yeah, I got my research back. Yeah, Texans have gone last to first three different times. They did it with Bill O'Brien.
Wow. I don't remember
they were
last to first like
that. I think 13 to 14. Well, they weren't great years.
Yeah.
Remember when the division was bad and they were winning at 9-7?
Yeah.
Well, those other years sucked. This one was awesome. you know, just how remarkable it was, that turnaround, man. Nobody in the world, who in the world thought that that could happen to the Texans, as far as bad as this franchise was the last 3 years, and the ownership and the other guy that Chapel dude or whatever the heck his name is, and like, just the turnaround is just unbelievable. I really can't believe we made the playoffs coming into the year. I mean, you know, everyone thought we'd be the worst team in the league. I didn't think that at all, but I didn't think we'd make the playoffs either, man. But it's awesome to watch. I can't wait for Saturday, and hope we stick it to the Browns, man. So go Texas. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. This is fun. This is
awesome. No, you know what? Actually, the Texans went worst to first.
That's right. That's what he said.
I'm looking at. I'm sorry, first to worst.
Oh, yeah, they did that. Remember in 2012, they were thought to be a Super Bowl contender, and they went 2-14.
I need to see because
2013, the following year, right?
That's what I'm saying, okay. From 12 to 13, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the NFL, the information I got was, I need to look at that because I know what I read, and I think I'll have to take a look. Maybe it was in the division. Maybe I've got that wrong. But I do want to hear from D'Amico Ryans about winning, right? About learning to win. And the big picture, all the sound that we have with D'Amico Ryans, when we come back, I want to get into the knowledge of D'Amico Ryans, the wisdom of D'Amico Ryans. It's not necessarily deep, but it's not cliched, but it just shows you that his focus is on a much, much bigger prize. D'Amico's focus is on winning a championship, mm-hmm. and because he's been there and had the opportunity to win a championship, was in the position at least with a team like that. I think he, you know, a lot of teams, like for me, I'm just like, God, it'd be great if the Texans can get to 8 wins. His whole thing is, we're focused on trying to eventually win a championship, and there's steps to that process, and the steps are fine, but we're not ending. It's not the end point, from him.
Let's do it on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right now, I'm talking about how you're watching your games, how the snacks that you're eating. And listen, it doesn't just have to be chips. You could dip I love the big pretzel. You dip that into the creamy ranch. I mean, my kids are big pizza with ranch. You have the creamy ranch from Daisy Dip for your pizza. It's fantastic. It is as good a creamy ranch as you're going to find on the market. The Daisy Dip, the French onion. I love French onion dip. Love French onion dip. And if you're somebody that does as well, were you seeing Daisy sour cream before? You've seen it forever. I mean, they've been around forever. Now you got Daisy Dip. So when you're watching your games, be it a pretzel, be it pizza, be it chips, whatever the case may be, Daisy Dip, French onion dip, or creamy ranch Daisy Dip.
Oh. ESPN 97.5.com, Fighter of the Night, man.
One is screaming, he's so happy. The other screaming, a passionate shout, it's the Night, man.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
We're going to do a video today. We can't wait. You just said that on the air. Okay.
My mic was off.
No. Yeah, but they heard you.
I just want to just lay down and go to sleep.
So, Lance and I do videos every Tuesday.
Did you like the national championship game? I didn't think it was very well played. A lot of drops for Washington. Not drops, but they couldn't finish contested catches. They didn't play well. If they played 10 games, I think Washington wins 3 of them. Michigan wins 7 of them. They're to play 10 times. Michael Penix did not play well. The running game, you know, it hurts when you're running back. That dude is tough as nails.
Yeah.
They were talking about he had a torn bursa sac.
Yeah, right.
Like, he had 3 different injuries he was playing through. He was literally, Johnson was limping around through the game.
I thought they might have been better off not him with somebody else.
Yeah. I would have gone with the freshman.
Yeah.
He looked like he had a little juice, but.
You could tell Johnson was not as quick as he usually is.
No. I think that really hurt him. But Michigan, it doesn't change the fact that Michigan, now I give Washington credit for tightening up their run fits. after the first quarter. But, man, they just got beaten to a pulp in the first quarter.
Okay. Talk about winning and D'Amico.
Yeah, let's get back. Okay, so Jim Harbaugh is a winner. You've pointed that out. He's won everywhere he's gone. And there's a mindset that comes with winning. It's not an accident. Not everyone's lined up for this. Well, D'Amico Ryans was talking about what it takes to win.
We're proud of that accomplishment, right? Proud of the work that our guys put in throughout the year, and they went out and they earned it, right? It wasn't pretty all throughout the year, but they earned it, and I'm happy the way we earned it. There were a lot of tough, gritty wins, a lot of learning lessons and some losses, but we've grown throughout the year, and I feel like we're much better. I talked about all throughout the year of us learning how to win, learning how to win. I feel like we've done that, and we have valuable experience, right, that'll carry us throughout these playoffs.
You do have to – and listen, is anybody – and this is a scary thing for next year going forward – is you see teams, oh, how many games did they win by a touchdown or less? You know, and those games could go either way. The Texans have been better in the final minute of a game, in the final minutes of games, than the other teams. And that's why they're 10-7. That's why they won the division, because they were more clutch in big situations. And that can go away. A ball could, you know, if Dalton Schultz doesn't catch that ball, you know, they don't win that game.
You and I could point to a play.
The Cincinnati game, it's game after every single game. Well, they also could have won the Amendola game when he hit it off the crossbar.
Yeah, it's football really is a game. Like, there's always minimum two games that could go either way.
Now they've got a good basis. They've got a really good coach. They've got a good quarterback. So you think that they're going to continue to do this as you go along? They've been pretty lucky in some.
Do you remember when the Saints in the Super Bowl in the Katrina year were so good, had that magical run, and then they lost. And the very next year, they sucked. They weren't good. They weren't ready to win yet. And then they came back, and they won. They won a Super Bowl. Like, sometimes you're not quite ready. And we've seen second-year players. We've seen the wall. Like, I don't care about next year right now, but I do want to point out that there's no guarantee that everything is just as – it hasn't been easy this year, but there's no guarantee that this is a magical season you know, once teams watch tape and try to find tendencies on C.J. Stroud, there's no guarantee that he just builds on this incredible rookie year. It could come down a little bit. Like, he could take a step down. Things, the division's going to be harder next year, potentially, with Anthony Richardson coming back. It's going to be, you know, you're playing a tougher schedule. Like, that's why you appreciate what you're doing here and you learn from it, because next year, getting a 9 wins is going to be hard for the Texans next year.
Yep.
They're going to have a much tougher schedule.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a really favorable schedule, but they've done a good job. And one of the reasons for that, you want to talk about changing a narrative in a short amount of time, the McNair family. Hannah McNair, Cal McNair, Janice, I guess if you want to say that. D'Amico Ryans talked about the importance of him working with the McNair family.
The McNair family has been awesome. Right, you talk about support from the ownership. They've been outstanding with their support. Right, whatever we've asked, whatever we've needed from their end, you know, they've been open arms. And it's truly like one of the reasons why, you know, chose to come here is just they want to create that family environment, and that's what it's truly felt like. It's felt like family from day one, and they've shown that throughout the entire year. Right, they're with us. Right, through the ups and downs, they're with us. Right, and it's very important to have an ownership group who truly cares not only about the wins and losses, but they care about the people in the organization. I think that's what sets the McNair family apart from others, because they have truly gracious hearts, really great family, great people, and it's a joy to work with them.
I think everything he said was true.
No,
like I don't doubt for one second. Everyone who knows Cal McNair says he is one of the nicest guys you could run into. I think when things are good, when the right people are in place, it'll be a really good ownership group. The question was, when the wrong people were in place, were they able to handle that? And at the time, they weren't.
The wrong people took advantage of them because of their nature.
Yeah.
They're not.
Not everyone's.
They're the anti-Jerry Jones.
Yeah, let's face it. They're not.
Daniel Snyder.
Like, you had some true snakes in the building. I don't even know how many people are like that around the NFL, period.
And it goes to how nice they are that they just let them. They actually were it wasn't nice. They let them walk all over them. And finally, they realized this and got rid of them. But they're still the nice people that they were beforehand.
Well, I think
this, the narrative,
I think,
is,
Hannah's a little street smart. She's got some street smart.
Yeah. Which there's wasn't, which Cal doesn't. That's just, Cal doesn't. The narrative has changed, power. Though.
What, Dell?
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, Dell. Yeah. You don't have to play that all the time. Cal knows stuff.
You just said he doesn't really know stuff.
Not street smart. He's not. I mean, no.
What, but he throws up the H.
Keep going. Don't let
him. That's as street as it comes.
He knows how to cook burgers.
Don't let him go.
With bun B. So he cooks burgers with bun B, throws up the H, and you're saying he's not street smart? Huh.
Just because you throw up the H doesn't make you street smart.
He also cooks burgers with bun B, a Houston rapping legend. So that
I don't think he cooks burgers with bun B.
He's
he
done
went
it.
And had burgers.
I went.
There.
Did
he
you,
cooks
have you gone?
Burgers.
Where?
Have you gone to? Yeah, you've been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trill Burgers.
My daughter wanted that for her birthday.
She did.
Yeah.
It's good. And, you know, the lines have subsided, so it's good.
Yeah, it's not. That's yeah, not nearly as bad.
No. So you can go. You can actually get in there. But they still have two guys having to park the cars and, you know, in the parking lot. It's still,
no,
it's still crowded.
It's a good burger.
It's still good.
And Cal
cooks
those burgers.
Cal's not back there. He's running a team.
Yeah. Cal doesn't cook at Trill Burgers.
He's not back in the back at Trill Burgers.
I feel like.
Working the drive-thru window. What are you doing?
There's some miscommunication.
Nah. You assaulted him a little bit.
No.
A little out of order yourself.
Because from all the messaging, it feels like Cal's back there making food.
No.
So he's not back there?
No.
No, he's running a team. And by the way, he should be owner of the
year. I thought Hannah was running the team, which would leave Cal the opportunity to make burgers.
Hannah's just by his side, looking at him, making sure he says the right thing, and coaching him up in the background.
Does he not show an affinity for making food? Isn't he always in some way, shape, or form?
I'm sorry, he's good on the grill. What do you want to do, Dale?
And then doesn't he and Bun have some type of relationship?
Yeah. Bun's got a place in RG Stadium. We got Trill Burgers.
So from all those connections.
Which, by the way, I had one there as well.
Yeah.
I thought it was better than the one at the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
It oh, wow.
Well, that's because Cal's making those.
Cal did make.
He didn't, no, Cal didn't make it those. In the stadium.
He didn't.
You sure? Because he's always out front making burgers.
My favorite picture of Cal is he's always throwing up the H now. That's his new rebrand, which is great. That's fine. I don't begrudge it. But then when he was at Trill Burger taking pictures with Bun B, he put his H away.
Yeah.
He wasn't throwing up the H. He was like.
We got to break it here. We're at the top of the hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to tell you how you can make some money for your kid to go to how you can get some money for your kid to go to college and through the Texans. And
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. No.
It's not gambling, is it?
No, it's not. It's not gambling.
It's not playing the money line on the Texans? No,
it's not. It's none of that stuff. How about this? Houston Safe and Lock and King Safe and Lock, same company. One's on Chimney Rock and I-10, and one is at Westheimer in the Beltway, whichever one is closer to you. But do you have a lock problem? How about access control, key cards, or even better, with your phone, okay? This is a way for you, if you've got a business that has multiple doors, this is a way for you to know everybody that comes through every door, when they're there, when they're leaving, all of this stuff, every time. And this is the best way to go about access control is the way to go about it, especially if you have some kind of a big business. And then if you fire somebody or somebody's leaving, you just take it off of their phone and they can't get in anymore. Access control. And it's all at Houston Safe and Lock, King Safe and Lock. They know everything, solutions about key cards, fobs, PIN codes, smart device credentials, managing access, just a button push away. These guys are the biggest, and there's a reason for it. They're the best. Medico locks as well. Also, if you're locked yourself or you need to change, how about you have a problem at home and you need to change the locks, they're here for you as well. You're looking for the best way to get this lock problem solved. 975safe.com, 975safe.com.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.